according to statistics and survey, we don't really need all the Ten Commandments. We're just going to pick and choose what we want to live. And the first four are all to do with God, and the last six are all to do with the relationships and other people. And so a lot of people are just trying to live the last six. And yet these are from God, and so the first four are really important too. We're doing them the backwards way around. We're starting at number 10, coming right back up to number 1, and finishing off with what Jesus and how he summed them up in them two great things: loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and then loving your neighbour as you love yourself. We also looked at why God couldn't lower the standard to make it easier for us. And it's because that as we look back in the Old Testament, looked at the setting where God gave them commandments right in at that time at Mount Sinai. And it were all to do with thunder and fire and smoke, really getting the tension that this is really important. And it never changes as God's word. It never changes at all. So it's for every age. And so these Ten Commandments are like a perimeter. Then we live in those, it's safe and it's enjoyable. And it's when we go over those that we're usually, it hurts. And we know the pain of that. And for some of us, we've gone over that edge and coming back into that safety zone where God wants us to live. But we looked at Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We looked at the law, how the law kind of represents God. We looked at missing that mark, the archery term of sin, it's missing the mark. But we've missed out on the glory of God. And so we looked at a few weeks ago, the law of God, which represents God. We looked at the glory of God, which equals the character of God. And that's the reason why God, he can't make it any easier. And the other reason why we've looked at this is because nobody can live this apart from Jesus himself. So why on earth has God given us to live? Well, we can't do that. We cannot live this on our own. We fail miserably. But with the help of God and his Holy Spirit living within us, and as we yield every part of our life to him, then these become not commandments, stiff commandments, but they actually become promises that God enables us to live and to live in that freedom. So again, that's just a bit of a recap. So here we are. My lovely wife, who was not with us today, she wrote out the Ten Commandments. So Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to be having a few scriptures up on the screen so you can follow those. I don't need to read them to you. But we've come to the one where it's honour your father and mother. And these are really delicate, very sensitive issues, just like last week when we looked at murder, as you call it up here. Not just murder, but murder. Is that right? Murder. How do you say it up here? That's exactly what I've just said. Murder. And we looked at that, the difference between murder and killing. I just found that really fascinating last week, the way that that we looked at things. We touched on the issue of abortion and war and all, and how does it all fit in. The week before that, we did another sensitive one about committing adultery. So this week is another sensitive one: honour your father and your mother. Honour's a big word. And it's, how's it got into the perfect 10? How's it got into the top 10? Because God knew beforehand that we as parents, or for those who are parents, would fail no matter how good we try. And some parents have really failed badly. In fact, some people don't even know where their parents are. So this, even just under this, there's a massive depth to go into, like we did last week with even just one word of murder. There's such a depth to go to. So we've got some people who don't even know where their parents are, and they've adopted kind of role models within their life. The interesting thing is that in this, honour your father and mother mentions no conditions whatsoever. There's no footnotes. There's nothing after it. It's like, it doesn't say honour your father and mother if they deserve it, honour your father and mother because they were good to you. It doesn't say anything to do with that. It just said honour your father and your mother. So for some of us this morning, you'll find it quite easy, but for some of us, we're going to find it quite challenging. How do I do this if I come from a broken home? I come from a home of abuse. I come from a home where parents used to fight. This just doesn't seem to fit in today's society and community. And yet it still stands, just like the rest of them. God hasn't changed his mind one bit. So in this, there's got to be a way that we can obey, because in this, there is freedom. And this is my main message this morning, is that as you and I obey God, there's a freedom and a release within in this. And God has got our better interest at heart. He's caring for us. In the Psalms, it says that his thoughts towards us are more than the grains of the sand of the sea. When you go on the beach, God's thoughts towards us are constantly, always for us. So God has got our best interests at heart. And so here, somewhere in it all, there's rewards and there's blessing. This is the first commandment, as you look down from number one, with a promise. And you'll find that as we go along in Deuteronomy and also in Ephesians chapter 6. It's the first commandment with a promise. And it says these words: when you do this, you will live long in the land and all will be well with you. Wow. This is a God who never changes his word. All will be well with you. It's an incredible promise as we begin to look at this. Talking about promises, a father said to his teenage daughter, about 17 years old, "Promise me that you will be in tonight by 10 p.m. And she said, "Dad, I'm not a child." He says, "Precisely, that is why I want you in tonight at 10 p.m. Making kind of promises. Listen to this word in Hebrew. It's kabod. And it actually means a weight of responsibility, or someone who carries weight and authority and respect. Has anybody ever been to court? You're not going to put your hands up, are you? Anybody been in trouble before? Eric? Honorary sheriff, yes, of course. I've been in court a few times. In my naughty days, and it's these words is, "Yes, Your Honour," because he's got a mark of respect. He carries with him a weight of authority, and parents have a weight upon them to bring up a child or to bring up children. So to honour or to treat parents is with dignity and respect. And again, this makes it really challenging for parents who have not been around, for parents who have been arguing, or they've split up, or they've been abusive, or they've been cruel, or it's been a bad relationship between parents and children. And again, there's just no condition on this. And you know what I'm like. I like to dig a bit to see, what are you trying to say to us here, God? So honour your father and mother, not if they deserve it or they treated you right, but God says, I want you to obey this one. I'm going to be really personal because I've got a mixed up background. My Granny Molly, which is my mother's mother, she used to teach us how to play cards. I'm just going to kind of describe her. She'd teach us how to cheat. She was an incredible cheat. She teaches how to cheat at cards. She come round every Sunday. But my mum's mum, she was a gambler. And just to give you a little bit of an insight as to what she was like, on our wedding day when me and Ruth got married, we were sat at the top table, as you do, and I felt something around my feet, and I pulled up the tablecloth, and it's my Granny Molly. I said, "What on earth are you doing?" She says, "I've lost my teeth. I don't know where my teeth are." Anyway, that gives you just a bit of an insight into, I'm not joking, it's no lie, honest, she was a character. But she would gamble, so sometimes my mum would go to school without any shoes on her feet whatsoever. And I noticed that as we were growing up in our house, my mum, even knowing her background, my mum's a beautiful Christian lady, you've met her, she's been up here, she honoured her mum. Even knowing what she were like, even knowing when it were tough, she honoured her. Let me tell you this joke, talking about grandmas. A young man were walking through a supermarket when he noticed an old lady following him around. Thinking nothing of it, he ignored her and continued on. Finally, he got to the checkout, but somehow she got in front of him. And she says, "Pardon me. I'm sorry if I'm staring at you and made you feel uncomfortable. It's just that you look like my son who's just died recently." "Oh, I'm really, really sorry," he said. "Is there anything I can do?" And she said, "Yes." She says, "As I'm leaving, could you say goodbye, Mum?" it would make me feel a lot better. Sure, said the young man. And as she were leaving, he said, goodbye, Mum. And then he stepped up to the till, and he saw that his total were £127.50. And he thought, how can that be? How can you charge me that much? I've only got a few things. And the cashier said, your mother said that you'd pay for her. Smart old girl, man alive. I would have put that past my granny Molly. I would not, honest. She were a bit of a tyke. It's really interesting looking through these commandments. We come to this one. So we're looking at the first four that's all to do with God, and then we go straight into the relationships, and the first one is mum and dad. Wow. I thought, goodness me, let me just have a look at this. Freedom in obeying God. Now, I've had a word with Anna before she went upstairs. I phoned her during the week because most of us have heard her story. I mean, she's been abused. She was beaten with chains. Her relationship with her mum and dad was not very healthy at all. And so I asked her a question. How did you learn to honour your mum and your dad with such an horrific background? And she said these words. She got to a place of freedom as she forgave her mum. And she began to honour her mother and father. And in doing that, she began to be free in herself. And she realised this, that God loved her mum just as much as God loved her. And she began to see her mum through the eyes of God. As God began to release Anna through forgiveness, that she began to see her mum in a different way, that God loved her mum and was so mixed up. And I thought, wow, that is, to me, that is really, really powerful. And then I talked about seeing other people through the eyes of God, once God has kind of released you. And that's what happened to Anna. And then she said, certain things still trigger me off, but I'm constantly reminded that I have forgiven her and God has forgiven her. And so she says, I've got to remind myself when I'm triggered off by things that it is constant forgiveness. And the Lord himself said, didn't he, you honour me and I will honour you. And even when we look at Joseph in the Old Testament, he had quite a tough time with his family and with his brothers. But he got to a place of freedom. It's just that, yeah, he maybe never forgot his past. But God had brought him into an incredible relationship. He maybe worked with him while he was in jail, dealing with bitterness and anger and all that kind of stuff. And he got to a place where God had abundantly blessed him. And even though he could look back and remember it, it's just that the pain wasn't part of him anymore. I really believe that's what happened to Joseph. He began to see his family and his brothers through different eyes. So this is a command, the first command with a promise. All will be well with you. Live long in the land. As I've been reading this and studying, honour does something within us. When we honour one another, when we honour our mum and dad, it somehow ignites faith. And I want to see if I can just explain this. This is in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. As we look back, they're on a journey. And they're on a journey from Egypt into Canaan. It's a faith journey. He says, all your days, they're going to be long and it's going to be well with you. No regrets, no bitterness, no anger. This promise has got real, real benefits. Many, many people didn't actually get into the land because they didn't honour God and they didn't honour his word. In other words, they were stuck in what they call unbelief. Okay, so just hold on to that. And you'll find this in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 9. We're not going to put that on the screen. That they didn't get into Canaan because God was bringing them out to bring them into this abundant land. But some of them didn't get in because of unbelief. They did not honour God. They didn't honour his word. Then there's another one coming up, Mark chapter 6. Really, it's verses 1 to 6, but we're looking at 4 to 6. Jesus is in his own country. The people were astonished regarding his teaching. And the people around, some of the religious leaders saying, hey, what's going on? We know this Jesus. Surely this is not him. And I think he mocked them because they really didn't expect Jesus to do this. And the moral they said, what is going on? We know this Jesus, we know his family. And then this word, it says, only in his own town, among relatives and in his own house, is a prophet without honor. And Jesus wouldn't do anything, he couldn't do anything because of their unbelief. They dishonored Jesus. There were no faith in him whatsoever to do anything. So again, just keep them two things in mind. When we dishonor, it numbs faith somehow. That's why there's no footnotes to do with this. Just honor your father and your mother. Nothing else. And again, God won't change his mind. So there's a blessing in this somewhere. We've got to dig a little bit deeper. Something breeds contempt. What is it? Yeah, thank you. Because I can't say it. I've got my wife's teeth in. But that's exactly it. Familiarity breeds contempt. And it comes from the word family. In other words, in family, we know family members. We know their traits. We know what makes them laugh. We know when they snore, when they get upset. And they were saying, we really know Jesus. It's just Jesus. It's just him. So, no, we're not going to honour him. He's not going to do anything. Not going to do anything spectacular. I remember my last church in Bradford. There were two pastors. And it came to a weekend and someone said, who's the speaker this weekend? And one of them said, I don't know. I think it's Phil Dyson, a lovely guy. I think it's Phil who's speaking. And somebody else said, I might not come, it's only Phil. In other words, they didn't honour him and they expected nothing. And this is exactly the same here. Then Jesus meets the centurion. This is in Matthew chapter 8. We ain't got time to read it. I know that there's a slide on the screen. It got a servant who was ill and he requested and he says, will you come and heal my daughter? This centurion is a Gentile, is an officer, is an honourable man. Now he could have killed a slave or a slave could have died, he could have easily got another one, so he was a really caring guy, but he pleaded with Jesus. And it was a shame for a Jew to walk into a Gentile home. So I don't know where this guy was, this centurion. All I know is that he really believed in Jesus. And he said, Jesus, to save you the embarrassment of coming into my home, just say the word and my servant would be healed. And it said that Jesus was a little bit amazed because he's never found such faith in all Israel like the faith of this centurion. And so this centurion, what he was doing is he honored Jesus because he recognized his authority. And he said, I'm also under authority. I tell men where to go to do this and to do that. And for you to do what you're going to do, I really believe you. I believe all you need to do is just say the word and my servant will be healed. What an incredible faith. What were he doing? He honored Jesus. He honored him. And in that honouring, there were a faith that were released. And so Jesus spoke, and that servant were healed. So there's massive differences here between dishonour and honouring. When we are dishonouring, sometimes we get really stuck. Do you know why? Because we hold on to things. And so this is just really plain and simple. Honour your father and your mother. Because when we get to that place, God releases us from all the stuff and we begin to see my broken parents, my broken mum, my broken dad, all that they were carrying, all that they were struggling with in life. I begin to see them now in a different way. What Anna said about her mum is, I realized that God loved mum as much as God loved me. She began to see her mum through different eyes. And Jesus here, going back to that centurion, he praises his faith. There was an understanding of Jesus, a confidence in the ability of Jesus. So this centurion greatly honored Christ, and amazing things happened then. And today, we live in a society, in a community where there's not much honour given to people in authority. We see and hear people hating parents, not forgiving them, still angry and still chewed up a little bit. So when this forgiveness has taken place, it's very, very different. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 and Deuteronomy 5:17, it says, honour your father and mother. And when we do that, it brings incredible blessing. We obey them at home, and then when we move on, we honour them. It's interesting, because you can imagine all these people, loads and loads of people, thousands of people at Mount Sinai. God's not just talking to kids, he's talking to adults as well. He's talking to us who have still got parents. I remember growing up, I really kicked up against my mum and dad. Do you know why? Because they won't let me out the street. We lived in a big horseshoe like that. And my mum and dad said, you are in serious trouble if you go out this street. And it's only maybe a few years after my 21st birthday, they began to realise why. We lived in a kind of a rough place. Our street were quite safe. But I didn't see that at the time. I really didn't understand that. It was just dad said, do not go out of here. Otherwise, if you do, you will be in trouble. Let me just share something with you about my two sisters. Again, I'm just being really open, being vulnerable to you. There were four of us. I'm the oldest. I did my brother's funeral about 5 years ago. He died of cancer, but I've got two sisters. And one of my sisters really honoured my mum and dad. Always with them. Always respected them. She was lovely. My younger sister did not. My younger sister had the attitude, there is no way you're going to tell me what to do. My sister, who respected and honoured my parents, she grew up well. She's married with two children. And but my other sister made a mess. She didn't listen. She didn't honour my mum and dad. And only in recent years, she lives down in London, but only in recent years as she got really close to my mum and my dad. Well, my dad's gone to be with the Lord, so it's just my mum. And just in recent years, this is what she said to my mum. She says, Mum, when I look back, she says, I just don't know how you put up with me. And through a long, long, broken relationship, she's kind of got back. She's got back on track. But this all started from that kind of rebellious teenage years. But I think the thing that stuck out in my mind, that she just didn't honour mum and dad. She just did her own thing. And she went way over that perimeter of these things that God has laid out for us. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Beautiful, beautiful verses. It says that Jesus increased in wisdom as he was growing up, in stature and in favour with God and man. The next one coming up is the verse before it, because it says he was subject to his parents. He honoured them. Now Jesus knew far more than his mum and dad, but he was still respectful towards them. He was still subject to them. I've been looking at how do my kids honour me. I know that for some people, they have adopted single people as a role model and as parents at times. And I think that's really, really great, especially coming from broken homes. I think God always puts people around us to be that example. But how are my kids going to honour me? For me, it's outgrowing me. I don't mean in height, because I've already done that. But I'm talking about just walking with God. They're ahead of me. They'll overtake me. They'll be a great dad. They'll be a great mom, a great example, and a great role model. How does someone honour father and mother who they've never known? They don't know who they are. I think to be that better father, that better mom, to be there at all times. I remember a guy in Dubai, he was a janitor or the cleaner of the church. He had no mum and dad. But I'll tell you something, he was a lovely guy. Every time I went upstairs, he was always on his knees. He used to clean the whole church. The church was big. Always walking around with a little tunic on, flip-flops and a little T-shirt. And I also said to him, how do you go on? He says, ah, brother, he says, God is my father. God is my father. He was one of the most wonderful, beautiful men you could ever wish to meet. But he kind of let God adopt him. Let's look at the next verses, Romans chapter 1 and verse 30 and 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 6. Because now we're kind of looking at this, the age of rebellion. You're looking at the 70s and 80s that really kind of rose up to kick against authority in every kind of way. We ain't got time to read through Proverbs 30, 11 to 17, but it's kind of talking about certain generations that were really, really bad. There were rebellion within these generations. They really kicked up. And you and I live in this generation now where we've got absolutely everything. Some kids are spoiled. Some kids treat their parents with sharp words and put downs. Give me and give me more. And so there don't seem to be a lot of honour given today. Not just to parents, but also to each other. So Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 says these words, honour one another. I'm just going to kind of branch out a little bit. To honour one another means to value. It means we've been bought with a price. In the Greek tense, honour, it's a beautiful word. It means it's someone is precious. So it means to treat one another as valuable, with a cost, and someone who is precious. Wow. Again, this is God speaking to us. Honour one another. How do we do that? I'm going to be really honest with people who frustrate us, people who are arrogant, people who get on us nerves, people we find hard work, people who are high maintenance, we don't really get on with. And here Paul is saying, honour all men. How do I do that? How do we do it? I'm just being real. I don't really get on with so-and-so, and I don't like being around them. They're high maintenance. And this is church. God's saying, honour one another. How do we do that? We see each other through the eyes of God. Wow. What a challenge. Honour God is to honour one another, to see each other just like God sees us. Precious, valuable. And so this is exactly the same, not just with each other, but also with parents. Parents we didn't get on with, parents we didn't really like, parents who had a bad history. So there's freedom in forgiveness and release when we honour mum and dad, especially with the past. It's liberating. There is blessing in this. Listen to these words. We're just going to bring things to a close now. Honour your father and your mother. Live long in the land. In other words, enjoy life. Because then all will be well with you. Wow. Goodness me. I grew up really rebelling against my parents. So this command is with a promise. If you love me, obey my commands, obey my promises. If you honour me, I will honour you. When we do this, all will be well with you. Let's just pray as we bring things to a close. Again, it's another sensitive issue, just like last week and the week before. But God, as a loving Father, has got our best interest at heart. And there may be things that you and I need to release our parents from as we begin to look at them through the eyes of God. Because God don't want us to drag bitterness or anger or envy or hurt. He wants us to be free of these things so that all will be well with you and I. So Father, thank you that we've got people here who have gone through some things with mum and dad that maybe some of us have never gone through. And we thank you, Lord, that you have worked with them, you've brought them through, and to us they're an incredible example of what it means to live a life of freedom and of blessing. We look back, Lord, and even sometimes when I look back at my own kids, you know I've messed up a few times, I'm not perfect, and we know that no parent is perfect apart from you, Father. You're the perfect parent, and you're teaching us all the time. And so we want to live that life, Lord, that you have for us to kind of live life to the full, and that all will be well. And that would you help us, Lord, to honour one another, to respect one another, to see each other as valuable and precious. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, Lord. Every day is just mind-blowing. And we just want to say thank you for the power to forgive and the power to release. And we want to do that before you, Lord, this morning. We want to bless our parents, Lord. So thank you again for your word and for your truth, which never changes. And we pray that, Lord, that you'd help us to live that life that will continually love you and obey you. Thank you for your blessing upon us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.